The Eldritch Hour is a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Betwixt the spaces we know, just beyond the fringe of human experience, old and strange things worm their way through the black matter of the universe, uncaring and unyielding. But there is a moment when the mucus-thin veil between our reality and theirs is worn and split. When the other reaches through the cosmic loam and touches an unlucky few. This moment is known as the Eldritch Hour.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another story by the Eldritch Hour. I am Josh, your keeper and host, and I'm joined by my usual group of fantastic human beings. Jeanette, hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Who are you playing tonight, and how are you?
I'm fine. For the listeners at home, I made a handful of gestures that you'll never see. I will be playing, I'll be reprising my role as Harlow Bruckner, our spooky loving, monotone, girly girl, 10 years later, is now a 21-year-old college student. And spoiler alert, she hasn't changed much.
Excellent. Welcome back, Joey. How are you? And who are you playing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. It's great to be here. How are you, Josh?
Oh, I'm fine. Got the first time running a thing jitters as usual, but I'm really excited to be doing more spooky season stuff. So,
spooky. Same.
I am playing Harry again. Harry Enslin. 20-year-old college graduate, bachelor's in engineering. He's a big, smart boy. He's a lot different than you last saw, Harry, in ways that I'm not fully aware of yet. But I'm excited.
Excellent. And last but certainly by no means least, Eric, welcome back. How are you? And who are you playing?
Hi, I'm Eric. I'm the least one. I'm playing Bobby from the Dare. And Bobby is very different. Very, very different. So his parents got a divorce once he told them about what happened in the Dare. And he moved with his mom to California, where he became a surfer bro. Like, as cliche and as generic a surfer bro as you could imagine. He probably dropped out of high school. No one really knows. He never told anybody back home. But he did come back.
He doesn't even know.
Yeah. He did school, and then he stopped doing school. So, yeah, he graduated.
but he goes back. He has graduated. Yeah.
He goes back to Apple Hill to visit his dad every summer, and he hangs out with the old crew. The coolest chick he knows, Harley, and the smartest dude he knows, Harry, and you know, he keeps in touch with them, and that brings us to our story today. But Bobby got ripped. Like, she got ripped. And he got super hot too.
Shredded.
Super hot. The phrase I before we came on the air, the phrase I mentioned was jacked and tan, and that's Bobby these days. He's 5'2", so he is the king of short kings, but he is the short king.
I thought Harlow was going to be this, like an inch or two taller than you. It turns out she's several inches taller than you. Exactly.
Bobby, he's really leaned into the encounter, as he calls it. And he spent his young adulthood interviewing people as a kind of like a the best you can call it as an investigative journalist. Didn't go to college, didn't do any of that nonsense. He's grown up on the streets of California and the United States West, and he's a true believer. He hasn't experienced a second encounter since then, but that's what brings him to our current situation. And I'll hand it back over to Josh.
Most excellent. Yes, as you can probably tell listeners at home by some of their descriptions, we are very much in the future from the events of the Dare. 10 years, to be precise. We're now in the year 1997. And no, you haven't really encountered much in the way of at least anything as firm or tangible as your encounter when you were children. But as you've all said, you've stayed in contact and have recently decided to maybe celebrate a little bit of Harry's graduation. Harlow's actually on a little bit of a semester off, and Bobby lives his life, you know, fast and young and loose. And you've decided to take a trip around the country, doing a little ghost hunting as a team. You've been on the road for days now. And the last few spots you visited were the fabled Mothman sighting location in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And to your dismay, didn't get to see the Mothman, but talked to some fun, weird locals. And your next stop was supposed to be the fabled Rockport, Massachusetts, but roads going in were closed due to extensive road construction. So you had to pass on that and keep going north. You also took a visit to the historic foundations of the burnt down old witch house outside Arkham, and are now headed far to the north in Maine to the Beacon Sanitarium in Hushers Hill, Maine. And you've known this through several circles and rumors as a defunct sanitarium from the late Victorian era. The doors closed in the late 20s after a massive basement fire, and it's located on a mountainside in the northern end of Hushers Hill, and supposed to be one of the country's most haunted locations. You're really hoping to get some actual evidence this time. But as we focus in, you are not quite there. You have some miles to go. You are on the road, and you've been doing your best to outrun a raging storm. Rain has been following you the last day or so as you head northwards, and unfortunately, it's finally caught up with you. And the rain is now starting to just lash down. It's late at night. You are just surrounded by abyssal black that is only illuminated a little by your headlights and occasionally in bursts of bright lightning. And have we decided you're in Bobby's van?
Probably. I'll have a car.
So, Bobby, since you are driving, this has slowed you down. You're on a mud road in the deep woods. You've been going through winding, like, mountain paths, and you're not quite at a crawl, but you're definitely not going full speed. And the wind is just kicking up debris across the road, and as you wind a bend and you start to come down on what looks, to the best you can tell, on a bit of a longer stretch of road, again, it's so hard to see in this dark, rainy environment. Your headlamps at the last second catch a figure stepping out onto the road. A bright, white-clad figure with just this expression of sheer terror as you realize just before you connect that their face is open in a scream and their eyes are sunken and black. Can I get a drive auto from you, Bobby?
Drive auto is going to be 20 targets, so let's see what we do here. Campaign's in my hands. We rolled a 90.
That's just a regular fail. Don't be panicked.
Yeah, you didn't quite make a fumble.
You're very close.
Awesome. I'm going to put these dice close away and grab a different set for the next time I need to crash a car.
You obviously jerk hard at the steering wheel, right? Trying to avoid this. And you do clip whoever this is as you hear the thunk amongst the heavy beating of the rain. And you swerve the van and it skids and starts to fishtail. And you obviously quickly apply the brake as you know that on your right-hand side, there is a sheer drop-off. You've been watching it closely as you've been going. Luckily, you fishtailed a bit to the left and you are able to come to a full stop, but probably 10 to 15 feet past this person that you've just come into full contact with. What's the vibe in the car right now?
Whoa!
Bro! Where? Did you see that?
On my fucking shoulder.
What was that?
That was,
See what?
Bro, I just hit a person. Should we, like, go check on her? Or him?
You hit a person? Are we in the mountain? Who's out here?
Now, especially.
Well, now, just us three, probably.
Can I make, like, an intelligence check about whether there'd be anybody where we're headed? Like,
certainly.
I'm sure Harry had a non-zero part in planning this trip, I imagine.
Yeah, I'll leave this down to... Actually, I'll tell you what. I prefer just a no roll here, which is education instead.
Oh, okay. That's a fail. It's an 80 on 70.
You can certainly spend luck if you want. Otherwise, you can let it ride.
I'm going to let it ride.
Oh, okay. You know that there was supposed to be... You think you're not too far from Hushers Hill. Probably another 10, 15 miles to go. But the last town is 30 miles back. You've been out in the boonies for a little while now. So to your knowledge, there shouldn't be any, like, populated area right here where a person would come from.
Bobby, pop the emergency brake. and I climb over the back seats. I don't pretend to know the arrangement of your van here.
Oh, yeah. So, a lot, there's like 7 surfboards attached to a rack on top of the roof. Another 4 inside at the cab, on the walls on racks.
Did you have to bring all of the surfboards on this?
That's, Harley, bro, that's just like where they are. So, yeah. I don't know if you're
Harlow's just like squeezed up against like a surfboard in the back seat.
And the rest of the van is just an odd assortment of recording devices, audio, video. There's like a spare TV. There's cables everywhere. There's also a curtain and a mattress.
So it's got like a separated sort of back area?
Yeah, kind of. Maybe Bobby lives here sometimes. Maybe.
Harry, after he says that about the emergency brake, jumps back, like past, like back towards the curtain where his bag is, and fetches the first aid kit out of it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I'd like to grab some flashlights. My bag that I've decided I have.
Sure, certainly.
Because I didn't write down.
Yeah. You guys are on a ghost hunting tour. Yeah, you'll have some stuff. So
I brought a bunch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pull the van to the non-sheer side, just to be safe, and you know, turn the flashers and the headlights on, and position the vehicle out of the room. And get out and go see who I ran over.
Yeah, I want to pop out the back with the kid. It's not after that.
Okay, you step out and. As I hadn't stated previously, it's autumn. You've been doing this ghost hunting tour in preparation for Halloween, trying to end your journey in the most haunted place in America on Halloween night. And tonight is Hallow's Eve, the 30th, and it's cold, obviously, here in Maine. And this rain is freezing, and you are just... It has gotten to a point where the storm is so strong that you, when you step out, you are almost instantaneously just soaked through whatever shirts, jackets, pants, all. You are just like you've jumped into a lake, just completely battered by the wind and rain. But you do see, as you shine your flashlight behind the van, as you all kind of get out and around from wherever you're exiting, you can see a figure lying on the ground. All white, clad in what looks like maybe a white dress, nightgown, motionless.
Like not dirty?
It's hard to see it. I mean, you are about, like I said, maybe let's put it at 15 to 20 feet away. So you have to step a little closer, which I assume you would be doing. But at an initial, just like raising up your flashlight, looking through all the like the blinding rain. Yeah, it looks like they're in some kind of like white long gown of some kind.
Yeah, Harry throws the hoodie he wears under his jean jacket over his head and just starts running.
Sure.
Towards her through the rain.
Okay.
Yeah, I follow him up in my flip flops and tank top.
Harlow is following behind. I don't think she makes any attempt to shield herself from the rain. She has just accepted the fate of the rain.
As you are you running or are you kind of just more walking?
Harlow for sure is more walking.
Okay, or yeah, because the other two said you were running.
Yeah, so. Careful pace.
Yeah, I'm running.
Okay. All right, yeah. Harry and Bobby, as you reach this figure, it is in fact looks to be a young woman, roughly early 20s, your age. Long, stringy, dark hair, obviously soaked now. She is wearing what looks to be a very vintage-looking nightgown. Something from probably World War II era or earlier. And you can see now, Bobby, why it looked so frightening at first when you saw this face in your headlights. She is in Halloween makeup. Pure white face paint. Dark circles painted around her eyes, which have obviously now started to run due to the rain. and her eyes are closed, but she is moaning a bit, but lying motionless in the mud. And her gown is just torn, ripped in several spots. She has scratches, some bruises, most noticeably a large livid bruise on her forehead. Anyone can make me a first aid roll to determine some more about that bruise in particular.
I'm going to kneel down. And is she on her back?
She's on her back. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I'm going to kneel down and start doing sort of just regular first aid initial practices, just assessing her before I start moving anything. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of those things will catch my eye.
I didn't hit her in the forehead.
That's an extreme success on a 13 out of 70.
Oh my God.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
Yes.
Very good. With this roll, then, you understand that the bruise on her head is not from the van. It is not quite that fresh, but it is fresh. It made probably no more than about an hour ago.
Okay.
And all of her, other marks on her is most likely from running through the woods. As you kind of look around, maybe look up, look around with your flashlight, you notice that you're in deep wooded and it's very gnarled and overgrown. So most of this looks like it's just lashes from outcropping branches and brush and all that sort of thing. She is barefoot and her feet are just super dirty and cut up. Looks like she's probably run a good distance in this weather.
Miss, can you hear me? Miss? Mm-hmm. Shining the light in her eyes. Over her closed eyelids, I assume.
Right, yeah. She kind of, flutters them a little bit. And, you notice she's trying to get them to, come down. They're a little bit rolled back in her head, you know? And she's she is responding to the light, but she's, mumbling and moaning and kind of, starts to turn her head away from the light and says, no, not the light. No.
Stay with me. You can't fall asleep. You can't fall asleep. You might have a concussion, miss. Where does it hurt? Tell me what you can.
While you're doing that, Bobby, you've obviously gotten here as well. You're watching the scene unfold. Harley, you're about to get to this. Mm-hmm. What are the two of you doing at the moment?
I'm letting the smart guy do his work, and he probably notices me coming up next to him. On the same side, so if he needs anything, I'm right there to do whatever. I feel really bad, though. Oh my god, I feel really bad. Harry, I feel so bad. Is she okay? Harry, is she okay?
She's gonna be okay, Bobby. We gotta see if we can move her. We gotta get her into the van.
Okay, yeah.
I want to move onto the other side of where Harry's working and Lillian's side. And just kneel down as well, and I'm not doing any first aid checks because I know Harry's got that part, but any other specific checks to see if there's anything weird other than the Halloween makeup, I would love to pick up on that. But I also just want to be it's okay, everything's gonna be okay, we're gonna help you out, don't worry. If I can see anything else on her that stands out that's weird.
Sure. Do you want to give me a spot hidden?
Sure. That is a 70 on 70.
Whew. Perfect. You're looking her up and down. You see, obviously, most of the superficial wounding and all of that. But you do notice there is a silver chain around her neck. But it's whatever it contains, if it's just a necklace or if there's something attached, it's inside the front of her gown, which is buttoned closed at the moment. But that's the only thing that stands out to you. Otherwise, she looks very, for all intents and purposes, barren, just chilled to the bone, soaked, wounded. No other artifacts of any kind on her.
Bobby, do you want to help Harry carry her to the van?
Yeah, totally. I feel so bad.
make sure you brace her head. Brace her head.
Hold on, I got it. We can't move her until I figure out what superficial stuff is wrong with her. I'm still kind of waiting on her to maybe respond.
Yeah. She seems almost entirely, like, incoherent. Just still, you only get the words out of her are the light, not the light, grandfather. That's it. And she just continuously just like mumbling, winces in pain every so often, but is not responding directly to any questions that you're giving her.
I'm gonna, before I like allow Bobby to help carry her, I want to try and like inspect like her arms or to see if like if I as I like sort of like touch them, she reacts in like deep pain, like she's broken a bone or something like this. But just some superficial stuff like that. So otherwise I wouldn't want to just start grabbing her by the limbs and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, as you with that extreme success on first aid, I'm gonna let that ride a little bit here. You feel up and down her arms very gently, down her legs, around her ankles, knees, like all the joints and that sort of thing, back of her head and such. It looks to be that wound on the front of her head, the bruise on the upper forehead there, is the worst that she's got. And everything else is just the superficial scratches and like, scrapes.
I imagine Terry and everybody in the car was aware of the grazing of this person.
Oh, like definitely.
We heard the bump or whatever.
Yeah, you can see a little bit of like her upper, what would be her right side is a little bit bruised, like starting to kind of swell a bit and bruised over from where you probably just clipped her in the shoulder on that side, but definitely no response to like, you know, severe responses as if something was broken or anything.
Okay. All right, Bobby, I'm not particularly strong, so I'm gonna need your help on this one.
Yeah, bro, I got her.
I can get her by the legs. Just be careful on her right side. I think that's where we clipped her.
Okay, yeah. Harley, you wanna like grab her head? Make sure her neck's okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I guess we sort of all carry her back to the van.
Sure. Yeah, all between the three of you.
The van.
Corpse.
Yeah, between the three of you as you're moving her along, takes very little effort, especially with Bobby getting like her upper half as strong as he is. You easily make it to the back of the van where it's still open and rain is just whipping and lashing. It is just carrying on. You really feel like the storm is actually somehow maybe getting worse. As you slowly like cradle her into the van, get her on the mattress, can you all make power rolls for me?
Got a hard success on a 26 out of 75.
I got a 32 out of 85.
I got a 10.
Both with your hard successes, Harlow and Harry, both of you, it's not just the rain. It's something you feel like you've been here too long. Where you're at, it's hard to describe why you feel that way, but you've lingered too long in this spot. You almost feel as if you're being watched or something. Like something just doesn't sit right with you. Bobby, you get that same feeling, but so much more intensely. Lightning strikes nearby. You know, maybe 10 yards away, just so loud. But that doesn't even shock you so much. It's the fact that the lightning, the light from it, deep in the woods there, lingered for a moment. And it was not quite as white. It was more of a pale yellow. And immediately following that, you get this feeling of being watched. Something is staring at you. You haven't felt this since, like, you were a little kid and you were afraid of the dark. And you left the closet open one night and you truly felt like something was there in that blackness. It is just welling up inside you.
Where are we at in the process of taking the girl to the thing?
You've laid her in the mattress, and like I would say you've stepped back and you're about to close the doors, and then this lightning strike hits and you kind of like look into its general direction. It obviously shocks all of you. The other two of you get this feeling of like, ooh, we've stayed a little bit too long, I think. Mm. You know, for whatever reason, we shouldn't be here, but you, Bobby, like very particularly noticed something strange about the light, and then had this intense feeling that something is out there looking at you.
And can I go against my fear or feeling or whatever and act opposite of that?
Yeah, act however you want. I'm just telling you that you definitely
Bro,
feel
get
it.
The camcorder. I need to get this on film.
Hold on, Bobby, fuck. I have to attend to her. This is not the moment for recording.
No, hold on. It's over here somewhere. Where's... Ah, I got it.
And Miss, are you alone? Is there anyone else in the woods?
No. Grandfather. Oh.
Is your grandfather in danger?
Do you live close by?
And then she goes completely unconscious.
Did you run out of the van with your camera, Bobby?
Yeah, I did.
Harlow, can you make sure Bobby doesn't... I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and clean this woman up.
Just be careful.
I always am.
Yeah, right. Harlow goes back out into the storm to follow Bobby.
Oh, it's just absolutely freezing. And you see Bobby, I assume you're running towards that area, Bobby?
Yeah, I have the camera pointing to myself.
There's a woman who's just ran across the road, and we almost hit her. And then there was a lightning strike, right? It was like super close, and then like, whoa, so here.
And I'm going to flip it over, the camera over to like point to that spot of the woods in the rain, whether or not I can get a clear shot or not. Don't care. I'm attempting.
There's something right over here. Okay, if we focus in, like, you know, maybe we'll be able to see something. It should be like right around here was where that lightning struck. It was big. It was a big lightning. It's something over here.
And I'm like walking as I'm talking.
Harlow, you can hear Bobby like yelling into the camera and like half walking backwards and half turning around, you know, and like pointing the camera back and forth. And he is reaching the edge of the tree line. This would be on the left-hand side of the road, so not towards the sheer drop-off, but he is definitely headed towards, like, deep, just black, gnarled woods.
I would like to pick up my pace to try to catch up to him faster.
All right. Can both of you give me dexterity rolls to see how well you fare in this mud and ever-increasing treacherous terrain.
Real great. I got a 19 out of 75.
I got a 16 out of 60.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dedicated.
Both of you somehow, are managing to make it through this, the muddy road, and then cross, like, Bobby, you cross the threshold into, like, this wooded area. And
still haven't lost a flip flop.
You haven't lost a flip flop. Crossing into this bramble, the trees help a little bit to stop some of that rain. Obviously, you still get some of the wind in there, but the rain itself is covered by this thick canopy. You get in there, and Harlow, you pick up the pace. You're maybe 10 feet behind him or whatever. I'm sure shouting after him. And
one of the few times that Harlow actually raises her voice. Screaming after Bobby right now.
Over the rain.
Yeah.
Bobby, you get to the spot where you think the lightning struck, and you instantaneously, as you step into this like kind of spot where you think it touched down or where you felt the feeling coming from, it is like 15 degrees warmer. Still windy, still raining. You still feel the elements around you, but like it is very visibly, noticeably warmer where you are.
Okay, so I think this is the spot where the lightning struck, and guys, it's like really warm here. Like, we're in southern Maine right now, and it's mid-October. It feels like 80 degrees. We need to turn the light off the camera here and see if we can't see the tree here. And yeah, let's just take a look. Let's go, hunters.
And I'm gonna like flip the light on the camera there.
All right, Harlow, you reach him as he stopped to talk to the camera and then flicks the light on.
Bobby, what are you doing? What is the matter with you?
I'm documenting, Harley.
It's not safe. What are you doing?
Well, this is where the spot we're investigating is what we're doing.
Here, investigating should not circle
around that
supersede
side.
Supersede our lives.
Hey, hunters, this is Harley. She's the coolest chick I know.
I'm like pointing at her, like holding the camera up to Harley.
And she's been with us on this Haunted America tour, 1997. And, you know, Harley, go check that side over there. And we're going to circle right over here.
And I'm just going to ignore her pleas of caution and just like half circle around.
Harlow never looks into the camera and only ever either glares off screen or directly at Bobby.
Pissed off wet cat.
Yeah.
I make no attempt to move to investigate where he directed me to investigate.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm still moving around.
Harlow, you notice the warmth as well as you kind of like got right up to him and then he leaves. Bobby, the moment you like kind of like leave that immediate 5 to 7 foot radius, it starts to like get really cold again. Like you really feel the elements again. And you're looking through the camera, looking with your own eyes, like kind of shining it around and slowly making a circle around this space. And there doesn't seem to be anything here. And actually that feeling that you had that was like welling up inside you back on the road has mostly subsided. Harley, you feel nothing other than that warm spot. And then you know, mm-hmm. if you start to move at all, it starts to mm-hmm. go away as well. I will say this. Since you are doing a more of a slightly extensive investigation here, Bobby, if you want to give me a botany roll, you're welcome to do so.
Oh, shit. Let's go. all right, 31 is our target. And we rolled a 24. Let's go. I didn't tell you guys about my mom's flower shop, but anyway.
incredible. Well, in your time at your mother's flower shop, or, you know, trying to learn a little bit about flora, some plant life, specific breeds of plant life in your time in California.
Certain exact count of leaves.
Yeah. You've actually seen a number of things die. You've seen how plants wither, you know, when exposed to certain elements. And the plant life, the overgrowth and the underbrush here, right around that spot, looks melted. Not withered, not burnt, but legitimately looks like it, like the leaves almost turned to wax and have like melted in spots.
I'm gonna get a close-up shot of that.
Yo, guys, look at this shit.
And I'm gonna touch the melted flowers. Like, does it feel like
it feels
wax texture
waxy.
And everything too?
Yeah, almost, and obviously wet from the rain now, but yeah, underneath it feels like if you dipped a candle in water. like that sort of wet, waxy feeling.
So I'm gonna pan the camera up to the sky, and then back down.
Well, it seems like this lightning strike here has melted these plants in the immediate vicinity of the area. This feels like a very wet thing, almost like it's a fake plant right here. This is really weird, guys. I don't know if this is specifically in our paranormal categorization, but this is still some weird stuff, guys. Glad you're with us on the journey here. We'll come back with you once we get to our destination. See you soon.
All right, Harley, did you see anything over there?
No.
I got some melted plants over here if you want to check them out, bro.
No, I would like to go back to the van and all out right, of yeah, the storm. No,
let's get back to the van.
Yeah,
this is pretty crazy, wasn't it?
Totally crazy.
Wild. Like, who'd have thought Maine of all places, right?
Yeah, in Maine, yeah, wild.
The wind has picked up even more. Violently enough so that it actually has started to rock the van that Harry is in. Harry, you're trying to tend to this poor woman, maybe clean some of her wounds, and
yeah, I'm cleaning her makeup off. But yeah, and I'm I've like rolled up a towel and put it under her neck and stuff. I don't intend to like undress her from her wet clothing, which is maybe going to lead to danger, medical stuff later. But I'm going to cover her with Bobby's blanket.
Sure.
Yeah. For just the warmth factor, I guess.
Absolutely. And yeah, you suspect again with that extreme success. Like, if she was out here too much longer, she would have been at hypothermic before you met her.
Yeah. But as the van begins to just sway in the wind, to an extent that feels dangerous, or I don't know, how dangerous does it feel? Is it like pretty aggressively swaying?
Yeah, it's not like it doesn't feel like it's going to tip over anytime soon, but like the wind is now enough that it is physically moving the van slightly. You know, like notice the storm has picked up from what it was when you were driving.
I'm going to actually like pan back over to like my equipment and grab my walkie. I have a question. Maybe I need to make a roll for this, but do I feel that the power roll that I rolled earlier about being watched, did that feel like just a hunch in like a gut feeling that I had, or did that feel more informed by exterior forces, whether it supernatural or like maybe it was informed by the need to get this person medical care, or you know, these, I don't know. I just want to know for the context of Harry's next moves.
Sure, it definitely felt more instinctual, like something
okay. Like we're something in an environment like, that
yeah, you're in your core. You're like, we've stayed here long enough. Kind of a feeling, we're you know, like,
fully wet to the bones, and we've got this injured woman, and
yeah,
the creepy night.
Yeah, there's another layer to it. Like something was off, but there was no external element was really forcing you to think that. It was mostly just
intuition. Just meant like if it like caused a twinge of memory from Harry's youthful experiences 10 years ago, that was like akin or related to stuff he felt in those moments that would just cause like a not necessarily a triggered response, but just have an air of that.
You would equate it to perhaps what you felt in the parlor when you were staring at like all of the shelves of all the curios at the Barnaker house. And
yeah,
there's that old stuffed cat that looked like just off and felt like maybe you were being watched around the room there.
Yeah, it was always like its eyes looked like it was always watching you.
Always watching you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe something close to that, but it's subtle. So
I think Harry is, given that, I think Harry's going to turn around, grab the walkie, and just hope that he doesn't hear his own voice twice in the van, that maybe one of them have their walkie on. And he's going to be like, where are you guys? How's it going out there? And then let go of the button.
Yeah, let's make a luck roll. Harry.
Me?
Can make a, okay. Yeah, Harry, make a luck roll first.
That is a 90 on 35.
On the rack, just blasting in your ear, you get immediate feedback when you start to talk into the walkie into your ear as it's sitting right behind you on the fan wall.
I see the ones that I've like meticulously labeled Bobby and Arlo, like just still like mounted there.
Now I feel so bad.
Man, I told those two to carry those at all times. And then I turn them off while they're on the rack so that they can like properly charge. And I'm actually going to pull out my spirit box and my EMF reader and just turn it on here in the van.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Because this whole trip is for testing out the spirit box's design and applications. So I'm calling it a spirit box for the podcast. It's not colloquially known by anybody yet because it's not commercially available at this time. But Harry has invented this radio frequency modulator that he thinks can be like an energy source to tap into by things that are meddling in our world.
And Bobby thinks that's super cool.
Yeah, you got a custom one that I made for you as well. So we have two boxes in our possession.
You flick it on and you immediately get a reading feedback on both devices. You are getting like mid levels on the EMF. Like it's, you know, almost to the full green, start about halfway up. And so you're getting something. And then the spirit box cycles and you hear what sounds to be like a weather report. You catch severity of the storm and then it cuts through, and as it you let it cycle a bit, it's you hear this continuation of what sounds like a weather report about the local storm, and then it's cut by this ear piercing, like it's not quite feedback, it sounds almost animalistic but also very electronic, and just cuts through, pierces it at a frequency that almost would be too high to hear, but it's just at that right pitch where it's like it hurts tinnitus. Your ears. Yeah, mm-hmm. It hurts your ears. And then that breaks. And then the EMF goes down to zero.
Yikes. I turn them off. Turn the devices off, or maybe I'll leave the EMF on. Just to get like further readings that it's not like local area feedback from all of the equipment we keep on us, because that all gives off EMF. And so I'll just like notate that in a journal that I keep of phenomena.
As you're journaling, the doors open as Harlow and Bobby get back into the van.
Where the hell did you go?
Oh, bro. What'd you say about that lightning strike? Super weird. How'd it go up here?
What do you mean? Is she okay? Did one strike close? Was it close?
Oh, yeah. It was just like
Yeah, she's stable.
Well, that's good. She talking?
No. Still unresponsive, but I cleaned her up and I'm warming her up. Here, get in here. Take off jackets.
I don't...
Get into some dry clothes.
I don't have a jacket, but I got a spare tank in that drawer over there. Or just a pile, rather. Just from the pile right there. Yeah, no, that'd be good.
Toss it.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
Harlow is fully, like... She's gone past, like, where, like, the back of the van is to go basically on the other side of the curtain. Like, basically towards the front end. But she's grabbed, like... her bag of her clothes specifically so she can change, like, just try to get out of. So she's fully, like, while they were having their conversation of, like, about the lightning strike, she's just moved beyond, like, already.
Yeah, I asked Bobby if it, like, struck close, basically.
Yeah, it was, like, right down the hillside. And then it, like, shredded this, like, tree, bro. But, like, there was plants around the base of this tree, and they were, like, melted. It was super weird.
Melted?
Yeah, like, it felt like wax, almost, like fake plants. I got video. I got footage of it, bro. You want to check it out?
Yeah, well, so the wind's really picking up, and the fan is rocking. We got to get out of here. We got to get into town.
Oh, no, no, no.
We can review the footage later.
Sure, yeah, bro. Like, the van's fine. Like, she's gonna be good. Don't worry about her.
We also have an unconscious woman in the back seat who clearly needs to see full medical attention.
We're gonna go. But, like, don't worry about the van. The van's gonna be fine. But we definitely need to get going. Anyway, so let's like get going, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay in the back if you start to move forward. But yeah, I'll be staying with her.
Before you drive on, illuminated by the headlights, Harlow, as you're changing in the front seat behind the curtain, you know, you have a moment alone, but this conversation is, like, happening between the curtain.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, when I spoke, I'm still just on the other side. It's like,
you, like, pull your shirt over your head and, like, you know, start to push your hair back a little bit and, like, you see you see out the windshield, and illuminated by the headlights just down the road a little bit, you can actually make out a sign that none of you really noticed before because of the events that have been unfolding. But there is a small road sign that says food and fuel 1 mile.
Food and fuel is about a mile away, guys.
That's great. Good. Let's get moving.
I'm starving. Let's go. Fire the van up and head on down.
All right.
I'd like to, while they move, or like right as we're beginning to get moving, I want to pop open my spirit box and examine it for malfunctions, because it sounded like it malfunctioned.
Sure. If you want to give me an electrical repair.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to look to see if there's any like burst capacitors or. Yeah. Anything that's like, you know, more visibly obvious without me actually breaking things out.
Definitely.
Holy crap, that's an 18 on 75 for a hard success.
Okay. Yeah, you open it up, and within seconds, you can tell everything's working, like, in working order. Nothing, it's pristine as you last built it, you know, like, nothing has gone wrong. Nothing looks like there's no. Any sort of burn marks, no frayed wiring, no, nothing looks out of place. 100% should be functional.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll close it back up and just sort of like brace myself for movement in a place that has no seat belts and try to keep this young lady corralled.
It's a little tough getting going as you've like stopped in this mud and it's only getting, you know, the ground is only getting wetter. But you are able to wrench the van free a bit and get going on down the road. And you kind of recenter yourself and you start to go downhill a little bit. And ahead through just this fleeting rain, you can see lights. A couple of brightly lit signs high above some other dimly lit buildings off to the left-hand side, just nestled inside the tree line. And as you get closer, you make out another set of lights, which look like a vehicle that's maybe straddled the road. And it lies between your position and these building lights. And as you get closer and closer, you realize it's like a truck, perhaps like a farmer's vehicle or like used for carrying livestock. The The back bed is open and empty, and the its tail is like its driver's side tail corner is facing you, so it's like half cocked in the middle of the road, basically blocking most of the road, leaving maybe just enough space for your car to get by it and the edge of the sheer drop-off on your right-hand side. But the most peculiar thing is you've gotten close enough, you've obviously had to slow a little bit to assess the situation. The driver's side door is wide open. And just beyond, you can see, you can start to read the signs out that are lit up. Maybe another 50 yards away, diner and gas.
So much for listening. If you would like to contact the show, there's a number of ways in which you can do so. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at The Eldritch Hour. You can email us at TheEldritchHour@gmail.com. And you can join our Discord community, a link provided in the show notes. If you enjoy what we do, please consider supporting the show. We have a Patreon campaign, a Ko-fi page, or you can purchase merch and even the music made for the show. Links to all of these provided in the show notes as well. The biggest way to support us is by word of mouth. Please consider telling a friend or someone you think may be interested in the show. Or go the extra step and write us a review on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app, if applicable. Until next time, thanks again for listening.